Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's August 22, 2016, and this is episode 537. As I switch my digital imaging workflow to Phase 1's Capture One Pro 9, I'm learning how to bring out the most from this powerful raw image processing software. And today I'm going to share how I'm now importing and organizing my images. You might remember from episode 534 that I have just switched to Capture One Pro from Lightroom. So my goals are to maintain as much of the control that I had in Lightroom as possible, while making use of the powerful features now available to me in Capture One Pro. I don't necessarily want to emulate my Lightroom workflow, although there are things that Lightroom does better, so I want to get as close to this as possible. If you want help with actually migrating from Lightroom and importing your archives, take a look at episode 534 at mbp.ac/534, as I cover this in that post. Today, I'm starting a more in-depth series that I'll build on as time allows, and it makes sense to start with importing and organizing images from shoots, although I'll start with some background on how I've organized my catalogs and other considerations. First of all, I'd like to talk a little about my catalogs. Although in Lightroom I used to have my entire library of images in one catalog, this really doesn't work with Capture One Pro because there's too much data held inside the catalog folder. I tried to put all of my images from 2000 to 2015 into a single catalog, and it ended up at 174 gigabytes in size and took around 3 minutes to open, then another 5 minutes or so before you could navigate around. Also, when I tried to select all images under the catalog collections, a Capture One became unusable for around 15 minutes, so I had to force quit the program, and that corrupted the catalog and it wasn't recoverable, so I had to throw it out. Capture One Pro just cannot handle this number of images, which incidentally was around 165,000 of them. So I've split up my previous year folders. I now have one folder called Tilde 2005, which has everything up to 2005, and then an individual year folder for each year from 2006 to 2016. My 2016 folder is, of course, work in progress at this point, but once this year is over and I've finished all of my editing, it will simply become the archive for this year, and I'll create a new 2017 catalogue for next year. This strategy gives me more manageable catalogue folder sizes. My 2016 catalogue is currently about 21 gigabytes and will probably be around 30 to 35 gigabytes by the end of the year, and I can live with that. I can also switch easily between catalogues with the catalogue pull-down under the library section, as you can see in the screenshot that I'm displaying right now. If you're listening on a device and you can't see the images that I'm talking about, just go to the blog at mbp.ac/537 and follow along with the images there. Switching between catalogs in this way, though, only takes about 10 seconds or so to switch, so this is a workable solution. The only thing I wish I could do, but currently cannot, is to search across multiple catalogs. If I could do that, this strategy would be totally stress-free for me. I also maintain a separate catalog called my finals, and into this I copy all images that I consider my final select. So my years folders contain all images that I didn't delete from all shoots, and I do all of my rating and keywording initially in these folders. Then, when I have completed my editing for any given shoot, I copy my final select images into my finals catalog, separated out into year folders. I currently have 16 folders in there. This means that the year catalogs become more of an archive, and I can just open the one finals catalog To get access to all images that I think are worth a hoot from 2000 to the present day, I tend to open this finals catalogue more than any other as I'm working on various tasks. This also means, of course, that I can search across all of my final selects too, which I think is important to be able to do. One final note on this is that I always keep my finals folder on an external hard drive and it goes everywhere with me. This means that if I'm traveling, I can plug in that external hard drive and access every half-decent image I've ever shot, no matter where I am. And my current year folder is also on that hard drive. Once I have completed my 2016 images and I'm working with a new 2017 folder, I'll move the 2016 folder to my Drobo attached to my iMac in the studio, and I'll repeat the process until 2018, and then, you know, rinse and repeat. For many years now, I have organized my original shoot photographs into a year/month/day folder structure, as you can see in this screenshot. This means that all images I shoot go into a single folder for each day that I photograph anything. If I'm shooting with multiple cameras, they still go into the same folder. And if the file name should end up with the same number, Capture One will append a new number to the end, rather than overwriting the first file with the same number. With the way I'm now naming my files, though, I have the camera included, so I have 5D1 and 5D2 in the file names, so that I can tell which of my 5DSR cameras was used to shoot the photograph. So the file names will never be the same. All day folders for each month go into a single folder with the number of the month, and all month folders go into one year folder for each year. I find having everything in day, month, and year folders makes backing up images and organizing your image library easier. When I first started digital photography, I did what a lot of people do and put images into individual shoot folders with the name of the shoot. This quickly becomes unmanageable as you forget what you've backed up, and the more folders and shoots you get, the more difficult it becomes to find anything. I find it much easier to have everything in these year, month, and day folders. And I personally remember quite well when I shot at any particular location, so I can generally find things quickly just by navigating to the year and the month folder. I always use keywords to find images in my catalog as well, and we'll touch on that later. Also note that by default, you will see all of your folders in a flat hierarchy and will not be able to find anything. To make Capture One Pro display your images in the correct year, month, and day folder structure, right-click the folder and select Show Folders Hierarchy from the shortcut menu that's displayed. Okay, so now that we have our folder structure strategy in place, let's start to import some new images. Note that although Capture One Pro also supports sessions instead of catalogs, for now we're going to cover just catalogs because this suits how I work most of the time. We'll talk about sessions at a later date. Another thing that I'd like you to bear in mind as we walk through this workflow is that I try to do as much as I can in my workflow as early as possible. The earlier you do something, the more time you save later. If, for example, you change your file name during import, it's done and dusted. You can forget about it from that point on. This helps in a number of ways. For example, for SEO, or search engine optimization, if you share your images online. But it also gives you a kind of SKU or SKU ID for each image, especially if you include the date and some other custom text. So we'll look at how to set this up in a moment. Also, we want to drop our images directly into the folder structure that I've mentioned so far, and we need that to be automatic. There's nothing more wasteful time-wise than navigating to folders and setting up your import details every time you do a shoot, so we'll cover this too. Before you even insert your memory card into the computer, open Capture One Pro and select the catalogue that you want to import your images into. For me, this year, the catalogue is called 2016. Then insert your memory card into the computer or card reader, etc., and Capture One Pro should automatically display the import dialog. If it doesn't, click the import button, which by default is the downwards pointing arrow in the top left of the toolbar, or select import images from the file menu. If it's not selected, select your memory card from the import from source pulldown and turn on include subfolders if necessary to see your images in the right side of the import dialog. Under Import To, select the destination where you'll save your images, but resist the temptation to navigate right down to the Day folder in our Year, Month, Day folder structure. Remember, we want to automate this, so you don't have to do this every time you import your images. To create a preset to automatically import your images into a Year, Month, Day folder structure, click the ellipsis to the right of where it says subfolder under the Import To section, and you'll see the Locate Subfolder Tokens dialog that you can see in this screenshot. Select Date and Time from the Group pulldown, and you'll then be able to add the Year, Month, and Day of the Month options. Note that to create a folder hierarchy, you'll have to type a forward slash between each element. Also, note that if the year option only has two Y characters in parentheses, click the downwards arrow and select the 4Y version from the pulldown. When you've done that, click the presets pulldown at the top of this dialog box and select Save User Preset and give your preset a meaningful name. I call my preset Import to Year, Month, Day Folders. From this point on, until you change it, this preset should be automatically selected whenever you import images. But if it ever is not, come back to this dialog and select it from the presets pulldown. As I mentioned earlier, I also think it's better to rename your images on import to save time later. Of course, if you need to change the file name later, you can easily do that anyway. But it's much better to have your base file name changed to something meaningful from the start, so let's set that up too. Under the Naming section, click the ellipsis to the right of the Format field, and you'll see something similar to the dialog box that I'm showing you now. I usually prefix all my image file names with MBP followed by an underscore, so you'll need to decide what, if anything, you'll use for your images. After that, I want to insert some kind of descriptive custom text. There is no custom text option like there is in Lightroom, but if you add something called job name, this enables us to do the same thing. If you select all from the group pulldown, you can find the job name option and add that to the format field. Then type another underscore and locate current year. And again, change this to YYYY, four Ys, not just two Ys, for the full year number, and add that to the format field as well as the current month and the current day of the month. The next thing I added was the image name option, which literally just takes the image name and appends it to the end of the new file name. Once you've done this, select the presets pulldown and give your new preset a name. I called mine MBP Rename. As with the location, unless you change this, it will be selected now for all future imports. Once you have these two presets created and are back in the Import Images dialog box, you should see something like this screenshot. You can see from the sample path that our images are going to my external hard drive, which is called MBP Traveler, because it travels with me and travels between computers. And the images will automatically be placed into my year, month, and day folder structure. Under the naming section, if you enter some meaningful text into the job name field, this will get picked up by our file renaming preset and used to build our new file names, also including the date and original file name. In this example, I was importing photos of prints coming out of my new printer, so I used Canon_Pro4000 for my job name. This means that from now on, if necessary, I could easily search for the word Pro 4000 or Canon and get a list of images. I could do this both within Capture One Pro or even just in the operating system search feature, and that can be useful sometimes. Note that if you are importing lots of images from various shoots and you want to use a different job name or custom text for each, you could just select the relevant images from on the right side of the import dialog box and import them shoot by shoot. Or you can simply import the entire memory card first, leaving the job name blank so it uses untitled, and then select your various types of images and select batch rename images from the file menu. At this point, I have found no way to use the original unique ID number that is embedded in the files, so the only way to rename files after the initial import is to use the batch rename find and replace method. If your files have untitled as the job name, just search for untitled and replace it with whatever job name or custom text you want to include in the new file name. To rename any file directly, you just simply click on the file name in the thumbnails view and change it right there, which I really like. Back to the import dialog quickly before we move on. I wanted to also mention that it's a good idea to add your copyright information, as you can see in the screenshot that I shared. And again, once you've added this, Capture One Pro will remember what you entered until you change it. So you may only need to do this once and then you can forget about it until the following year when you just need to update the year number accordingly. If you find that you're making the same adjustments to all of your images after importing to Capture One Pro, you can create a preset of those changes and assign that preset during import by selecting it from the Styles pull-down in the Adjustments section. You could assign other creative presets like converting everything to black and white during import as well if you wanted to. At this point, I haven't really decided on any generic changes that I want to make on all of my images, so I'm not using this yet, and may never use it. But I have started to create presets for various looks, and I'm using them in my processing after import, so we'll look at this in a future Capture One Pro tutorial. In addition to including a descriptive word or two in the file name during import, I always add keywords to my images. So for example, if I need to list all photographs that I've made of Japanese red crown cranes or snow monkeys, I can simply search for these keywords and find all images with the keyword assigned very easily. In Lightroom, I used to add my main generic keywords for a shoot right there in the import dialog. But that isn't possible in Capture One Pro at this point, as of August 2016, so I'm trying to get into the new habit of now adding generic keywords straight after import. I'm forgetting this sometimes, which is why I really would like to be able to do this on import, but I'll stick with it. Just go to the Keywords section in the Library tab and click on the field where it says Enter Keywords and add your generic keywords for the shoot. Then, later on, after I've made my final selection of images that I might share or send to Offset for consideration for inclusion in my stock library, I select each batch of images and add more refined keywords. For example, for a shoot from Hokkaido, say in the area of Akan, where we photographed the beautiful Japanese red crown cranes, if all of the images on the card include cranes, I might include that in the first generic keyword list. But if we have some fox shots and maybe a sunset shoot on the same card, I would probably just add the keywords winter, Japan, Hokkaido, Akan, and then snow straight after import. Then later, I'd go to just the crane shots and add Japanese red crown crane, bird, avian, and maybe graceful, white, and any other descriptive keyword that it makes sense to add. I don't go crazy with keywording, but I think it's important to get the main keywords assigned to your images. This makes it easier to find things later and improves SEO if you post your images online or send them to a stock agency, etc. Just like in Lightroom, you can rate your images as you browse through your library simply by hitting a number key from 1 to 5 or 0 to remove a star rating. You can also add a number of color tags to help with your organization. And 3 of the main colors also have shortcuts. You can assign a red tag by hitting the minus key, a yellow tag by hitting the asterisk, and a green tag by hitting the plus key. You can also add color tags from the adjustments menu and color tag submenu, or click on the color tag icon at the bottom left of the image thumbnails. One thing that I miss from Lightroom is that there's no reject flag or pick flags, but I rarely use the pick flags. To reject an image, you can just hit the X key on the keyboard in Lightroom, and then once you've selected all of your rejects, you can hit the Command plus Delete key, and that will filter out all of the rejects and delete them from your hard drive. I thought of going back to my old rating system in which 1 star means the image is to be deleted, but I like the rest of my system now, where 1 star means it was once selected but fallen out of favor. 2 stars is an original image for something that I've made a TIFF or other format copy of the image. And 3 stars is for anything worth a hoot. 4 stars is stuff that I want to actively share with people. And 5 stars is portfolio class by my standards. While looking for a way to reject photos, I came across a Niels Knudsen post from a few years ago suggesting to use minus to mark images with a red tag and then delete them. I didn't really want to do that because I use red tags to mark the last frame of a series of images to be stitched into a panorama, but I think I'll change that and go with the minus key red tag for now. On a Japanese keyboard that I use, the minus key is the only one of the 3 color tag shortcuts that doesn't require you to hold down the shift key, so that makes the most sense. Once you have your star ratings or color tags assigned, you can easily filter on these values to get a cut-down view of your images. For example, when I'm ready to just select the red tag images to delete them, I just go to the Filters section in the Library tab and click on the color tag to filter out the images, as you can see in this screenshot. You can hold down the Alt or Command key and click on multiple ratings or color tags to filter on more than one at a time. Once I filter out all of my red tagged images like this, I can hit Command A to select all of them and then the Delete key to remove them all from my hard drive. Being so accustomed to simply being able to select multiple folders and see a view of everything inside all of them in Lightroom, I was stumped initially by the fact that you can't just select a top-level folder under the Folders view in Capture One Pro and see everything in the entire folder hierarchy. For example, if I click my 2016 folder or any of the month folders, I do not get a list of all of the images inside all of my day folders. I have to click on the actual day folder. I cannot even select multiple day folders, which I found incredibly frustrating at first. Then I realized that if you click all images under the Catalog Collections panel, the Date section under the Filters panel comes to life. With all images selected, As you might imagine, you get a list of all of the images in the catalogue. To drill down to a specific date, though, you can select the date, the month, or multiple dates in the dates section. The search features in Capture One Pro are really quite powerful, but it takes a little bit of getting used to. You can, for example, search for images based on keywords and file names, as well as pretty much any other text field assigned to or embedded in the image, and this is linked to the star and label filters. If I want to search for all Red Crown Crane images that I shot in February this year, but only images that have a 3-star rating or higher, you just type the phrase to search for in the search field and click on the criteria while holding down the command key on your keyboard. You can also right-click the ellipsis to the right of the search field and display a more advanced search criteria dialog, or right-click the ellipsis to the right of the filters section label to opt to select which fields are included in your search. The other useful thing is if you navigate to a different folder or even a different catalog to look for something, and then you come back to the same view, each view remembers its own search and filter criteria. This used to drive me crazy in Lightroom because it forgets filters every time you navigate away, but Capture One Pro does not. Conversely though, if you ever come to a folder and can't see the images that should be in there, the first thing to check is the filter and search fields. It's possible that you have something set down there that you forgot about. Because of this, it's a good idea to just hit the circle with the X in it to the right of the phrase that you are searching on, and it will clear not only the search phrase, but all of your other selected criteria like star ratings and color tags and dates. There is also a keywords and a place section under the filters panel. These are pretty much self-explanatory, but basically when you open them up, you can see a list of keywords from all of the images in your current view, as well as places if you've got your images geotagged. If you click on any of these, you can get a view of all of the images with the common criteria. Capture One Pro also supports collections, very much like Lightroom. As I mentioned in my earlier post about jumping ship to Capture One, if you import your images into Capture One by importing Lightroom catalogs, you will keep any collections that images used to be in. But you can, of course, create your own collections from scratch and organize your images. For example, if I'm interviewed about my work, I'm often asked to provide photos, and I generally create a new collection inside a folder called Interview Images. I was recently interviewed by Craft and Vision for their new blog, for example, so I created a new collection called Craft and Vision Blog. Although you can drag and drop images into a collection, it's often easier to use a keyboard shortcut, and to enable this, you'll first need to right-click the new collection and set it as the Selects collection from the shortcut menu. This is pretty much the same as making it the target collection in Lightroom. Once you've made a collection the Selects collection, you'll see a little tray with an arrow pointing into it to the right of the collection name. You can see this in the screenshot that I've attached. Then you can use the shortcut Command plus J on a Mac or Control plus J on a PC and add images to the Selects collection. To remove an image from a collection, you can just hit the delete key. This does not delete the photo, it just removes it from the collection. This is powerful because it can be used to build collections and narrow down images for a final selection after a shoot, etc. Then, once you have your final selection, you can change the Selects collection back to some other default collection that you might use, and you're left with a regular collection to keep your images in. Of course, the images themselves don't get moved around your hard disk. They remain in their original folder. You're just creating logical links. Images can also be in multiple collections, etc. This is just for organization purposes. We'll talk about exporting files and printing with Capture One Pro in a future tutorial, but to complete this discussion of my workflow today, I want to talk about how I copy my final select images into my Finals folder and catalog. Once I have my final selection of images from a shoot, I filter down to everything that is 2 stars or higher because I want all of my original images for anything that I made a copy of and everything that is rated 3 stars or higher. Then, with everything that I want to export selected, I right-click one of the thumbnails and from the shortcut menu select Export, then Originals. You can also get to this option from the File menu. Then all I need to do is to select the destination folder and keep the image name because that's already changed on import, and then click the export button as you can see in this screenshot. Note that this does not automatically add the images to the Finals catalog. So I then have to switch to my Finals catalog, navigate to the folder under the Folders section in the library, and right-click it. In this example, I right-clicked 2016, then select Synchronize from the shortcut menu. You'll then see a dialog showing the number of images that will be synchronized and giving you the option to show the importer as well. If you select to show the importer, the preset that we created earlier to import images into our year, month, and day folder structure will be selected. So you'll have to select the current location instead, and then you'd have to reselect your folder structure preset when you go back to import your next memory card. To avoid that, you can deselect Show Importer and just click Sync, and your new final images will be imported into your Finals catalog but remain in your 2016 Finals folder, which is where you want it anyway. That's about it for this episode. Remember, if you decide to buy a copy of Capture One Pro, you can get a 10% discount if you use our voucher code AMBP. That's A for Ambassador and MBP for Martin Bailey Photography. Note that this offer is not available for subscriptions or the Sony version of Capture One Pro. Also note that you can download a fully working trial version of Capture One Pro from their website and then try it out for yourself for a full 30 days before you buy. See if you love it as much as I do. Okay, so we'll wrap it up there for today. I know that at times this might have sounded a little bit complicated, but in practice it really isn't. Sure, Capture One isn't as smooth as Lightroom in some respects, but in others I'm finding it more powerful, so I'm still happy that I've switched. And I'm happy to work around the few areas that are a little bit more troublesome than my old Lightroom workflow. In my opinion, the image quality and processing power of Capture One Pro is worth it. Also note that if you are already using Capture One Pro and are happy with your import and organization workflow, I'm not necessarily saying that you have to change anything. This is my workflow, having used Capture One for the last month. If everything goes according to plan, I'll be leaving for Greenland and Iceland 2 days after this episode is released, and I should have an episode about outputting images ready for you next week. I'm going to save a conversation about processing images until I get back from my travels, as I'll have been processing every day and expect to be able to talk better about my processing after that. Plus, I'll hopefully have some nice new photos to share with you as well. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes as well, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.